Blog Talk Radio.
Time on earth. You will reveal what he hoped for
And even though you allow us to keep something of this goal before our eyes, we praise you that your name may become great in our midst, and that again and again new life can well up from us who are poor and weak. May your name be praised for setting this goal before us to strengthen us. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Let me bring on our Pastor Kent, Pastor Leroy, and Pastor Veal, okay, as we get ready to start our show.
Hey, hey, hey.
Are you there, Pastor Kent?
I am. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very tired.
I bet you had a long week.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was very strenuous this week. How have you been, Pastor?
Say what?
How have you been?
I've been great. I went through that kidney bypass, and to my surprise, I didn't feel a thing. Okay, so it went good. However, I didn't come home until way after 5 o'clock. Okay, because it was a procedure where I had to go under the with twilight sedation and stuff, and they kept me. I had to lay on my back for 3 hours before I could even get up and walk because the needle went in my back. So it was it was a major procedure.
Yep, it sure was.
But now all the major procedures are done. Let me unmute Pastor Leroy and Pastor Veal, okay, so they can come on. Pastor Veal and here's Pastor Leroy. Okay, we're all here today. We got four pastors today. Yeah, what a blessing,
amen.
Right?
Amen. What a blessing.
Amen.
Hello, Pastor Leroy, and hello, Pastor Ken. And Ken, I'm so happy your surgery went well. I've cracked open a 2-year aged barrel aged beer in your honor here, and I'm drinking it as we speak. So, congratulations on it going well. Hopefully, the cancer cures up, and you're all good to go here in the future.
That's 45.
Ken, are you there?
Hey, so how you doing, Pastor Bill? You doing okay?
I'm doing the best I possibly can. It's a weekend. I'm very happy it's the weekend, and I'm very happy that we have all these godly people in the chat room. I can't say Esser's name, but he's here, and Kosoff is here, and Gavin Moorhead is here, and Reverend Sherwood is here. It's a very godly chat room. Oh, and Turd McGillicuddy. Hi, Turd McGillicuddy and Brimshaw.
Yeah. And we also have Pants here. Okay? Well, it's an unusual name, okay? But he's in Discord, and he's been a faithful listener, and he's also been on the air here a couple times. Okay? So I'm glad we have him. Well,
He's great. He's absolutely great. And Kent, sometime I hope you can join Ken and I in our ministry on Discord chat rooms. We reach out to individuals at Discord, and we we preach the word to them, and it's a fantastic environment. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll have to download it again. But yeah, I'm usually only home on the weekends though, because I work all week. So, but yeah, sure, I would enjoy that very much.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now where's Pastor Leroy? Pastor Leroy.
Hallelujah.
I hear him. Leroy, how was your weekend? Or how is your weekend going? Leroy, tell me how the Bronx is going this weekend. Any block parties going off?
A lot of problems this weekend, man. Let's get out of the click.
Amen, amen. Pastor Kent, would you like to start your sermon off? Amen.
Sure. I mentioned to Ken earlier today what the message was about. It's titled All Roads Lead to God. Now, the roads is in small case, and the rest of the message is in large case. There's a reason for that. You'll see later. God is a noun. In Christianity and other monotheistic religions, the creator and ruler of the universe, yes, the creator and ruler of the universe and the source of all moral authority, the supreme being. Now, according to Christians, this is what we believe. There's one God, one creator, one universe, which he spoke into existence. The world, in other certain religions, there is a superhuman being or a spirit that they worship as having the power over nature, human fortunes, a deity. If we just take a glimpse here for a second at Exodus chapter 20, it says, "No to this, it's the commandments and laws of our faith." The Old Testament uses a parable called Elohim. This means three in one person, becoming favored generic term for God. The world has watered down this. There are religions that have their own Bibles. That's some scary, scary stuff. They've taken the power of the Word of God and replaced God with what they feel it is. This is so, so wrong. The development is lost, and the absurdity, but the evidence from ancient literature compared with the Old Testament does not use the parable in other around Israel as the designation for a single deity that enables the entirety of divinity life. Some have taken the plural as from the plural of the intensity representative of the indescribable, or as abstract plural corresponding to our words, Godhead or divinity. And there is justification according to the world for both of these views. So my question is, do all roads lead to God?
Yes,
they don't. This lays a foundation for both believers and unbelievers struggling to understand salvation is freely given to those who've placed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you believe that a tree is going to save you, you're mistaken. If you believe an idol is going to save you, you are mistaken. Our God is alive in heaven. Can you say that about your God? Doubt it. The Bible is only inspired and is in the infallible word of God. Historians agree as to the authenticity of the New and Old Testament writings. And contrary to popular belief, transmissions of this text was completed with 99.99 accuracy. The Bible includes a bibliography, a historical and agricultural confirmations, the Bible's harmony and unity are written over 1,500 years by over 40 authors in three different continents. And the Bible's fulfilled predictive prophecies. There are 330 specific prophecies about the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament, which are fulfilled without accuracy, or sorry, my Freudian slip, my bad, with 100% accuracy in the life of Jesus. God spoke to the Old Testament prophets, revealing the history in the advance, because he is outside of time. Psalms 119, verses 2-7 state this. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. O Lord, deliver my soul from wicked lips and deceitful tongue. What shall be given to thee, or what shall be added to thee, to a distinctive tongue? The sharp arrows of the mighty, with the coals that lay waste. Woe is me that sojourn in the proclaimed. I have dealt with the inhabitants of Cedar. My soul hath been long sojourning with them that hated place. I was peaceable. When I spoke to them, they fought against me without cause. In this world today, when you speak up about godly things, you get chastised. If it contradicts what they believe, people have a problem with that. Well, I have a problem with that. If it contradicts the Bible, I have a problem with you. Because you're not living properly. The word Christian comes from the old word meaning Christ-like. If you sit there and no, it's Christ-like. When you sit there in your life and allow false doctrine, false teaching, false prophets, liars, deceitful, vile people to manipulate you, that's not Christian. The prime example that we can look at is our Messiah. Matthew 7, verses 12 to 20, state this. All things, therefore, whosoever you would that men should do to you, do you also to them? For this is the law of the prophets. Enter ye into the narrow gate, is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there are who go therein. How narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life. And few there are that find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and inner worldly. They are revering wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every one good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit.
Now, Kent, I have a question.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down and shall be cast into the fire. Therefore, by these fruits you shall know them. What's your question, Pastor?
My question is, where can we find this evil tree?
Very simple. If you have sin in your life and you're not living according to the way of the biblical principles, that means there's evil in your life. And in order to do that, I've worked in an orchard before. And every fall, when the trees go dormant for the winter, you have to prune them and cut them back so that in the spring they can produce flowers, which will produce fruit. God
now, I have a serious question about that. So is the fruit itself evil? So we're really diving into philosophy here. Is the fruit itself evil? Is that why you have to prune it back?
It's got nothing to do with the fruit. It's what's in the fruit.
But if you have
vile thoughts in your head toward a person, Christian, is that fruitful? Can anybody help with that? No. I can't.
So
the only one,
Ken,
who could,
I want to just dive back into this again. So what exactly is in the fruit? I know it's an apple. It sort of tastes good, right?
It's got nothing to do with the fruit. You're missing the whole point. When we sin, we produce bad fruit. When we come back to him and we repent for what we've done, then we can produce good fruit.
But we're not trees.
You're not getting the simile at all, are you?
I can't say I am.
Okay, you as a pastor, if you tell everybody it's okay to sin, is that right? Hello?
Certainly not. No, I never told
Okay, so you have to tell them what's in the Bible.
Correct.
And preach it cover to cover without
Amen.
Deviating how the world believes it should be.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Proper
Amen.
Fruit. So I don't know why this simile is so simple. A tree, when it grows, produces fruit. We, as a person,
not all the time.
When we grow, we produce fruit. We meet people. We talk to people. We see people. We say hello. We say hi. We become friends. So on and so forth. Now, if we have bad mojo or bad ideas in our head, is that going to get good friends? No, it's not. Not at all. Not at all. And is that going to make God push away from us? Yes. Will Jesus leave us? No. Or he wouldn't have came here while we were wretched, putrid sinners and died for us. Because he loved us, he willingly laid down his life.
But Kent, there's a person in the chat room, since we're taking chat room questions, who says, I have a tree that's barren. It can't produce fruit.
What is the difference in the tree? Why are we talking about trees when we should be talking about the spirit? You're miscommunicating what I'm saying. Do not twist my words. In closing, this is a common belief that today all roads lead to God. While it is noble and respectable to expect and respect others' religions, faith, the Bible teaches that the only way a person can reconcile to God is on God's terms. Here are the five that I think are the most important. Faith in the Messiah. Faith and trust in God above. Believe that Jesus died and rose again. Believe that our soul will never die. And five, know the relationship with our Creator on a person-to-person relationship. We must give 100%. If you're in a relationship with somebody, do you give half or do you give your all? Christ expects us to give the same. He gave everything.
I want to interject here as a pastor. So with Christ, I just want to say, I teach my ministry this. We don't give Christ half a bushel of fruit. We give him the whole bushel.
I just said that. 100%. Do you not understand?
Pastor Kent, can I ask you a question? It's Pastor Leroy Jackson.
Yeah,
from the Bronx.
I know
man.
Who it is.
I'm from the Bronx, man. Look.
I know that.
What about pine trees? What about pine trees? They don't bear fruit, man.
You know what? I'm done. I'm done. You're not getting it. You're being stupid.
Oh.
You're sitting there taking the
what
main part of everything, a tree, and you're looking at the tree. This is the problem with a lot of the world today. They look at the tunnel vision. Don't look at the tunnel vision. Look at the whole picture.
Yeah, you get
understand.
He's using a tree as a metaphor, okay?
Exactly.
And we as Christians, okay, bear fruit, okay, by what we do, okay? All right? So if we don't live righteously, we are bearing bad fruit.
So you want to be an apple tree. You don't want to be a plastic Christmas tree.
Golly
right?
Gee, why are you so tunnel visioned? What is the matter with you? How can you be that tunnel focused? How?
Why do you put us down, man? Because we don't believe in what you think.
I'm asking you a question. Why are you so tunnel focused? You're talking about the tree. The
Pastor
whole thing
Kent,
was
Kent,
about
calm down,
our...
Pastor Kent.
No, I will not. You're sitting
Pastor
there trying
Kent,
to twist my words.
To...
When you plant a plant, Let's use a plant for an example. With the seed, does that seed just happen? Does it just magically grow? No.
No, you have to water it.
You need to cultivate it. You need to take care of it. You need to give it what it needs. Thus, the fruit. If you're not witnessing and you're not talking to people and you're sitting there listening to this garbly goop that's happening tonight about the stupid tree, you're missing the whole point. You're looking at the tunnel vision. Take the blinders off and look at the Bible and see what it is. Don't just assume it's talking about one thing. Really, seriously.
Pastor Kent, I am simply asking questions from the chat room. Many of
no, you're not.
Tunnel vision.
You're judging me. You're saying the tree. I never said a tree. I said the fruit of the tree. How do you not understand that as a pastor? I don't get that.
Oh, I understand it funny.
No, you don't. Or you wouldn't be talking about the stupid tree.
Look, I'm tired of beating around the bush here.
Good. Then get to the point.
Let's just finish your sermon, Kent. It'll be okay, all right?
I'm done. You guys have just destroyed everything. You just mocked me and made fun of me, like usual. Thanks.
Kent,
no. Pastor Kent, no. I was really getting into your message. I was understanding what you were saying. Okay?
Well,
go on
to say,
and continue.
Well, it's obvious they weren't. No?
Well,
but
you
anyway,
know,
I can...
some people, you know, they have to... They gotta ask questions, okay, and to clarify the message, okay. However, I believe they should have waited until you were through, okay, if they had questions, okay.
Okay.
But
I apologize.
That's okay. Okay.
I apologize. I'm very sorry, Kent. I'm sorry I interrupted your message and sort of derailed it there. I promise you that that will certainly not happen again. So please stay.
Well,
that's yet
to be determined because, you know.
I'm open to being muted for the rest of the message, Kent. You can mute me and then bring me back on when we start doing the Q&A session.
I already concluded. You see, this is what I'm saying. You weren't even listening to me. I concluded the message with my conclusion. But you obviously were focused on the tree instead of the message. That's your issue, not mine.
Well, Kent, you are so right. The blinders were on. I see your message now. We as humans bear fruit for God. We have to be fruitful for God, and we have to make sure that that fruit is good by not partaking in sinful activities, like watching pornography.
I think I just said that.
Too much. Yes, I understand your message now. It took a little bit to sink in. I deeply apologize. We love you, Kent. That was a fantastic sermon, and I was just ignorant. It is my fault entirely.
You know,
I apologize.
I've gone and I've seen many pastors in person. The one thing I have never, ever done was interrupt their message. That is so disrespectful, and it's rude. And as a pastor, if I went to your church and you were preaching, and I stood up and said, "I'm going to be better," would you appreciate that? Probably not.
No,
and I'm sure Pastor Levi, I know he certainly would not.
No, I would not, man. I would not. Look. I want to apologize too, man. I've had a rough week. I just got out of the clink, man. So I apologize. You don't have to leave, man. Come on, you and I have done some shows together now. You stay.
Hey, did I say I was leaving? If I was leaving, I wouldn't have said I'd have just hung up. I said I'm done. That's what
Amen.
I said.
Ken,
so you don't, you,
Pastor Ken,
you don't even
I
listen
beg for your forgiveness.
You don't even listen to me. There's nothing to forgive. I mean, that's just part of learning. But it's obvious, it's very evident to me tonight that neither one of you have any respect for me at all. That's pretty evident tonight.
Pastor Ken,
we've done three shows together, man.
I have...
I want to say, Pastor Ken, okay, that your message was very well taken. I mean, I understood what you were talking about, okay. And if you want to elaborate more on it, okay.
Why? I mean, what is the sense? The message is ruined now.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
The message is not ruined. Okay,
it was
a well-founded message. Okay, some people just—I don't know what it is. Okay, they focus on a word. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said tunnel vision.
You like the word
blinders?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
Instead
why
of,
I said what I did.
Yeah.
You know, instead of really thinking behind the box, okay, they focus on a word, okay,
mm-hmm.
and we've come across that many times in the past, okay. I know I have, okay. I know, people. May not get the word that I'm speaking, okay? But eventually it does sink in, okay?
Anyway.
So, I mean.
It's enough hashing over that. Is there any callers?
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Veal. Are you going to be with us tomorrow?
Yes, I will try to be with you all tomorrow. I can't give an exact because Mrs. Veal wants to go on a trip to Las Vegas and preach outside of casinos for lost souls. But I will try my best to be here on Sunday. Amen.
Okay, because if you do, I would like you to be able to deliver the message for tomorrow.
Yes, amen. And if I can't do it tomorrow, I'm happy to do it on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. I forgot the show schedule, Pastor Ken. What exactly is it?
Well, we're doing the shows on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Okay, I would be happy to do it Monday if I cannot do it on Sunday, or if Pastor Leroy would like to give the message, or if Pastor Kat would like to give the message again, I'm fine with that as well. But I have a really good message. I'm looking forward to it.
Pastor Leroy was supposed to preach last Monday, but due to unforeseen circumstances, Ken could not be here. So, by rights, it should be his choice.
You are right, Pastor Ken. Okay, Pastor Leroy, would you like to give the message tomorrow?
Absolutely, man. I got a whole bunch of messages to give to the people. Hallelujah. I will give the message tomorrow.
Okay, sounds great. And maybe Pastor Veal, okay, you can give the message on Monday.
I would absolutely love to. I have a message planned. It's about important things and learning from mistakes and sin. and it will be a very, very, very strong message. I've had it in my backlog for a long time. Haven't given to my church because they might not be ready for it, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you can shoot those ropes out to people. Yeah.
Amen. I absolutely can.
All righty. Well, let's play a song, okay? Let's play a song, and we'll bring out some more guests. I see I got a lot of hands up, and maybe people got questions about the sermon, and we can bring them on. So let's play a song. Here we go.
When Moses with Israel came to the Red Sea, Yahweh said, "Have courage and leave it to me. Well, I will not forsake you. I'm gonna hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Well, just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. In this life before we face, you know, we're tested and tempted to give up this race. But then I hear Yahshua whisper, "Let me hold to your hand, for there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrendered at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh. Let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land.
Amen. There's a way to cross over. Yes. Beautiful song. A beautiful song. What do you think about that song there, Pastor Beale, Pastor Leroy, Pastor Kent?
I loved it, man. I'm still in tears, man. Great.
beautiful banjo playing. You know, I'm a really big fan of bluegrass. Will the Circle Be Unbroken? It's a really great song, Kent and Ken. So I adored it. It was a fantastic song. And I loved how he just said, land at the end. He held that note and he showed his musical prowess. You know, it was beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You touched my soul.
Amen.
Let's
take some callers here. I got a couple 1-1 numbers. Let's see if they're going to be any good numbers. Let's try it.
Orale, what's happening there, Pastor?
Hey,
Pastor Kenny. Orale.
How you doing, Beanie?
I'm doing okay, you know. I was listening to the message, and it kind of convicted me, you know, because I met this girl at Walmart, and she works there and stuff, and we were talking for a while, you know, for this past couple of weeks, and yesterday, on her lunch break, we went into my car, you know, and things led, you know, and the thing is that she's a virgin, you know, and she wants me to take her virginity, you know, but yesterday at our lunch, she started, you know, giving me palatial, and the message that Pastor Kent gave, man, you know, it convicted me, man, and you know, how do I repent of this, you know?
So I would like to take this one first, and then Pastor Kent can, but did you just say that you had premarital intercourse or some sort of premarital intercourse?
Well, we haven't had that yet. She wants me to take her virginity away, but she gave me fellatio yesterday at her lunch break.
I'm sorry to say, but that's the same type of intercourse, and we have a thing that we play in our church when in our youth group, and people come forward and say that they've engaged in this, and this is it. I you know, I just got to say this right off the bat, Beanie. Beanie, it's not okay to have fellatio or anal or any of these other things before getting married. Amen. And I pass it over to Pastor Kent, and he can talk more about this.
But I remember President Bill Clinton said that it wasn't a sin with, you know, the girl with the blue dress, you know. But it did convict me, you know, so I'm kind of confused.
Well, Pastor Kent, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, premarital sex, okay, fornication of any kind, is a sin. But, you know, we are human, okay, we are human, and, okay, so, you know, if you need to repent for your sin that you had deplacio, and try not to do it again, you know?
Amen.
Oh, man. Okay.
Pastor Leroy, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Let me say this, man. By the way, hallelujah. Look, I got to be honest with you on this one, man. I banged a lot of women, man, before I got married. That's all I'm going to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. How about you, Pastor Kent? Are you still there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Cool. Do you have any thoughts, any, you know, because I remember you helped me out a couple years ago.
Well, for one,
Uh-huh.
What is this, man?
Glad we're here, Dusty. Did Pastor Kid drop?
No, Pastor Kid's still here. Okay. Well, maybe he had to step away from the phone for a second. I don't know. Pastor Kid, are you there?
Oh, man. So you're saying that if she does it, yeah.
I'm there, Pastor Kid. Are you alive? My God, man.
Pastor Kent, are you still there? I mean, this man is going through a crisis right now, and we need to help him.
Oh, no. Well, all right. Yeah. Hello? Anybody there?
Yes, we're here. We're here. But I don't know where Pastor Kent is, and he was asked a question, and I hope he would give his word. I hope he would give his word and, you know, provide some answers to Beanie Loco here, you know?
Yeah, because I remember he helped me out, like, about 2 years ago. It was Pastor Ventura. And I forgot the other pastor's name, but I was trying to get out of a gig, you know, but he helped me out, you know.
I'm
back. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Being a goofball again. Anyway, as I was saying, we don't need to talk about the sin you did. You already know it was wrong. And that's the most important thing. To bash you and smash you with the sin is not a good idea.
Okay.
So, you said you want to repent.
Yes.
Well, it's a very simple prayer. Okay?
Okay.
Just repeat after me.
Okay.
Father, forgive my fellatio. Show me how to treat her. As a proper lady. Show me your way. So that I can make her. Be as important as she is. Now, there's two questions I want to ask you. One, did you mean that prayer?
Yes.
Then he heard you. God heard you. Because you asked for forgiveness for that sin, it's remembered no more.
Oh, amen.
So you don't have to beat yourself up about it. However, to help you, you don't have to beat yourself up about creating the sin. The sin is forgiven. It's washed away.
You bet the other thing. Okay.
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Now, in order, do you care about this lady?
She's good looking. She's like 20,
that's not,
like baby
that's,
20.
That's not what I asked you. I said, do you care about her?
Yeah.
Okay, then you should respect her as a lady.
I do, but she wants me to take her virginity.
Doesn't matter. Who is the man?
I am.
You or her?
Me.
Do you want to make an do you want to make an honest lady out of her?
Yes.
Then don't bend to the way of the world.
Okay.
Live Christ-like. If Christ was next to that lady, what do you think he would do?
Good boy.
What would Christ do if he was there?
Would he
take advantage of her? Exactly.
No.
So you as a Christian man should not go there. If she loves you or likes you, she should not want you to do that.
Okay.
The proper way to deal with a lady, if you care about her, is respect her.
Yeah,
don't do that.
I will respect her. So, should I respect her?
Because
her wishes?
No.
Or her? Oh, okay.
You be the better person.
Okay.
If she cares about you, she will understand. She will respect your wishes.
Okay.
You did just one little sin. And look at the guilt you felt for that sin. Just imagine if you followed through on what she wants. Can you imagine how you would feel?
Oh, man. I mean, I would feel bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
So the correct way is respect a lady. Do not have sex before marriage because you are committing the same sin.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Now,
if you care about her, and I'm taking by your words, I'm only guessing that you would really like to see where this goes. Well, if, as a man, if somebody disrespected you, how would you feel about that person?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So after the initial hoopla is over, how do you think she's going to look at you?
I don't know.
So,
yeah.
If you don't go there and you be the better person and respect her by respecting the vows of commitment and matrimony, you will not do that. And I can testify to you this.
Okay.
And I know that sounds like a big, really hard thing to do. Let me share something with you.
Okay.
I've been with my wife for 5 years. I've known her for 5 years. However, about 3 years ago, it was a situation, and we ended up having to be in the same room, in the same bed. She asked me, as a Christian, not to go there. So out of respect for her, I didn't. Was it hard? Skippy-dippy it was. It sure was.
I bet it was.
But because I loved her, because I cared for her, I respected her wishes. And let me tell you, the wedding day was glorifying.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What you have to look forward to.
Yeah. Now, Kent, I want to move on to some other callers here very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But, Kent, there's among a young group of people in my church, they've been saying that it's okay to have anal sex, and they're calling it the devil's back door. They're saying that it's not intercourse if they do it in the rear end. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay. Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you, Pastor Kent. Is anal sex still a sin?
As Christian men of God, there is to be no fornication, nothing of any sort, be it any way at all. It's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry to be gross, but there are some people that like that stuff, okay? And that's fine. If it's in a marriage and it's two consenting adults, it's a whole different ball of wax, okay? I am not God Kent. I can't judge them for how they have intercourse. I can't.
Amen. Until you're married,
but,
Mr. Loco,
exactly.
Keep your D in your P. That is what I teach all of my youth ministry, and it's a rhyme so they remember it. Keep your D in your P, and don't do anything. Amen. Just court this woman. Be nice to her. And while you're at it, don't go on online sites like Twitter and flirt with people. That's disgusting. And don't go on OnlyFans. Don't go on Pornhub.
So you say to abstain like my friend Willie or Free Willie?
Any
what
kind of fornication at all, be it with somebody or with something else or some other thing, it's wrong. It's still fornication.
Jay's phrase on a May, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. So if the girl wants to see my slog, it's wrong. Amen.
Yes. That's part of fornication. See, fornication is not specifically the act thereof. Fornication just means you're looking upon a person as a sex object. That's what fornication is about. Adultery is what is known as the act thereof, or sex out of wedlock. That's exactly what it is. And that's right in Galatians chapter 5. You can read it for yourself in Galatians chapter 5. It's right there in black and white.
And as Kent said in his message, you want to bear good fruit. You don't want to bear bad apples by having premarital intercourse or premarital fornication. You want to stay clean. And you want to wait for your wedding night. You want to bear good fruit. You want to bear good apples. Amen.
Amen.
Any more callers?
All right. Yeah.
Any more callers, Kent? Bring them on.
Huh?
Any more callers?
No, actually, this is it for tonight. Well, we got people that called, but they haven't pressed the one key. Okay? If you want to come on along, you got to press that one key.
Don't bring them on.
That way I know that you want to come on.
Yep.
I'm asking for more callers. This is Pastor Veal. Please call into the show. I know you're out there. Please plus one to speak to the host of the show. We're looking to help you with your problems. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Well, You know, I just thought about something. You know, we didn't do an altar call, okay, today. Okay? Pastor Vito, would you like to bring us into the altar call?
Amen. I would love to. And I'm going to do it as a prayer. Just like the good old Billy Graham did back in the day. Amen. He's my inspiration. Lord, I pray that these people which we're preaching over, Benny Loco, Pastor Kent, Pastor Leroy Jackson from the Bronx, Pastor Ken even, all of us, we're praying that those in the audience listening can bear fruits, can come to us and learn how to bear fruits, learn how to be a productive orchard. If you've heard our message, if you've heard Kent's message and you agree with it tonight, please call in and say this prayer. Lord, I believe in you. I want you. You are the one and only for me. And I give my life over to you. And if you heard this message and you agree with that and you want to say that prayer, please call in. You know the number. It's on the screen. Please call in. Amen.
Amen. And that number is
Amen.
Area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key, and you can come on here. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's as it says in the New Testament. Now, unfortunately, I can't find it in my notes, but I know what it is. And it says very simply, I believe it's in Matthew. It says very simply, if you will not confess me in front of others, I will not confess you to my Father in heaven. So if you said that prayer, you need to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to let people know. This is how you start bearing proper fruit.
Amen. All right. Well, listen, folks, I'm going to have to cut this short. My phone is getting ready to die, okay? So I want to thank God bless everybody. Bless our pastors for the day. Bless Beanie,
Pastor
McGillicuddy, Sherwood, Lovehead, Payne Jenner, Mike Buchanan, Lauren G.J. Herber, Coswell, I Just Warden, Gavin Moorhead, Farrar, Brimshaw, Juan from Alabama, Mark, Matt Mark, okay, from Discord. God bless you all. Okay, Johnny Longfeather as well. Okay, and come back for tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay, to hear another great message. It'll be Pastor Leroy. He's going to give the message tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so come on in and get blessed. Amen.
Pastor Kent, if you could leave Blog Talk running, there's a lot of questions that have been asked to Pastor Kent that I'd love to be able to ask him. A lot of people are curious about his ministry, and I think we can just run out the show with it.
Well, I don't know if I can be able to leave it running. I don't know if I get cut off, if the show lasts. We'll keep going.
Yeah, amen, amen. I mean, we've got apparently 20 minutes left, about 20 minutes left, so we can do this Q&A session with Pastor Kent. I know he's excited.
Okay, well, I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens, okay?
Yeah. Amen. Pastor Leroy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Pastor Leroy, do you want to give a quick message?
Always give a message, man. Always give a message to the world. But Pastor Leroy Jackson, man. But tonight, Pastor Leroy, well, I'm just kind of chilling tonight with the old lady, my dog, my granddaughter. So I'm just enjoying the show tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Pastor Kent, how's the weather been up in Canada? That's the one question that somebody asked for you.
Hot and sticky. Muggy, terrible, nasty. Don't like summer.
What's your favorite season, Pastor Kent?
Spring and fall.
Amen. Now, Pastor Kent, many people have asked you this question about the pillars that you saw. Many people have seen different visions of this pillars as well. I know Brother Johnny Longfeather has mentioned that he saw the number 30,000 on the pillars. And it was like five pillars. And I told you I saw two pillars, and it was 20,000. What was this dream about?
I've told this story many times. It was a vision of something to come. I was on the pulpit. My wife was in the front. I couldn't see anybody. They were all obscured and, like, not recognizable. It was kind of blurry. And the two pillars stood, and in between the two pillars was a number 10,000.
Amen. What do you think that meant?
I have no idea. It's not revealed to me yet. And until it's revealed by a proper source, I am not commenting.
Oh, yes. Brother Johnny said that he actually hit one of the pillars in his dream. I don't know what that means. Maybe Brother Johnny, if we could have Colin, could call in about it. But I'm gonna take more questions for you, Pastor Kent. I hope you don't mind. Do you mind?
No.
Not at all. Oh, it's I'm so happy. I'm glad you're on the show. A question for Pastor Kent. Can he discuss his time as an enforcer for a biker gang?
Why, it's in the past. It's gone. It's done. I don't need to relive that. Thanks.
Okay, we've got the answer there. We've got some other questions here. This is from iJazz Farted Baby. Who's his favorite woman in the Bible? Who's your favorite woman in the Bible?
I would have to say I was partial to Rebecca.
Amen. Amen. Why
because
is that?
I know how David, or sorry, not David, Joshua felt when he worked 7 years and didn't get his wife. He got his older sister. Or her older sister. They had to work an additional 7 years for Rachel. But he did it willingly because he loved her. That's what it's about.
Amen. One sec. I'm talking with Pastor Ken to see if he can call back in so we can take more callers. When his phone is fully charged, Ken, are you still there? So, in the interim, my phone is charging. I've got another question.
Okay.
It's from a one Turd McGillicuddy, and I think this is a man suffering from addiction, Kent. He's asking, is it godly to chase after big-breasted women on Twitter to make sexy comments?
I have no idea what you're referring to.
Oh,
by what you're talking about.
This is
men
just
are
going to
date.
Go, Cuddy.
Okay. Men are going to date. Absolutely. I mean, when I was dating, yes, I put comments and stuff like that, but I was single. There's nothing wrong with the comment. It's when it gets perverted that's the problem.
Amen. What would a perverted comment sound like to you, just so the men out there understand how to date godly? Like, what would a perverted comment be?
Something sexual.
Leroy, do you know what a perverted comment would be?
There's a lot of perverted people out there, man. I used to be married to six of them. Okay?
At the same time?
No, I've been married a bunch of times, man. Been married a bunch of times, and I have a quick question myself real quick for Pastor Kent. I was just thinking about this, man. Now, what if it's a cherry tree, man? Because the cherry is like a fruit, right?
That Kent? Pastor Kent, are you still there?
Yes, my son.
Pastor Kent, I'm so glad you're still there. I was worried about you for a second because you became quiet when Leroy asked this question about the cherry tree. And I know that was covered in the message today, but Kent, do you think you could answer Leroy's question, please?
Yeah.
The cherry tree. Each cherry, you pop a cherry. And when the cherry is popped, about you get good fruit. Goodbye.
I appreciate you answering that question, man. I was just confused, you know? I got my old lady back here. She drives me crazy about taking it to KFC. So we're going to do that after the show, but, you know, she's driving me crazy this morning. Out of here, man.
Amen. Some other questions in the chat room. Kent Hopper, Pastor Kent Hopper, asked, I already know the answer to this one. Would Kent go to a sexual gratification room? I can't say the full name. It rhymes with one of the creators of the hit show on NBC The Office, BJ Novak. Would Kent go to the BJ Novak room if escorted by his wife? Kent, I think this is a question from Gavin Moorhead. Pastor Kent, are you still there? I don't know if Pastor Kent's phone has messed up. And thank you, COSOP, Veal for Pope. Although I'm not Catholic, I am Protestant. But if Pastor Kent is not there, I'd like to give a wrap-up sermon, so to speak, until Ken charges his phone. We talked a lot about trees in today's episode, a lot about trees. We talked about trees bearing fruit. We talked about trees being evil and not bearing fruit, or bearing fruit that you can't eat. Now, in my limited research on trees, I would say that you should probably not go out into the wilderness and eat whatever berry you find off a tree. I know this in my years of wilderness survival. I've watched many episodes of Bear Grylls. God does not want you to eat those red berries that you find on the prickly bushes underneath your trees either. That will quickly end you up in the hospital. And I think there's a parable there. Can I get an amen in chat? I'm more of a charismatic pastor. Can I get an amen? I see Kostov is typing amen. I don't see any other amens, though. You know, God doesn't want us to eat the fruits under the tree. He wants us to eat things like apples. He wants us to eat things like pears. He wants us to eat things like strawberries, even though that comes from from a bush. You know, God in the Bible said, the world is yours to eat. You can eat anything on the earth. Now, if you're Jewish, it's different. You can't eat pigs. You can't eat things like that, hoofed animals. And on certain days, you can't eat fish, right? No, it's not fish. It's meat. On certain days, you can't eat meat. Some days, like Friday, you can eat fish if you're Catholic. That's why the fish filet from McDonald's exists, right? It's the cashing on that Catholic money. Amen? So.
Amen.
Oh, Ken is back. What I was saying with my message, though, was there are many things we can't eat, but the best thing you can eat from is the fruit of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. We got another caller. 111. Let me bring him on.
Hello, this is Grover Washington. I'm in down here in San Antonio, Texas. Good to hear you guys on the air tonight.
How you doing, Grover?
Well, I just had the COVID. I just got over another bout of the COVID, and I forget, it might have been 38 or 39 times, but I'm doing all right now.
Amen. Amen. We're glad you're doing better, Grover. Now, Grover, how is your time being homeless in San Antonio treating you? What is day-to-day life like for a homeless man in San Antonio? How do you survive?